I mean, I don't want to lose the presence of God here. Don't switch off now and think, oh, it's going to be a talk. We want to talk out of worship. We want to talk out of those God stories because it's the same God we're going to talk about, believe it or not, in our message. But the declaration that we said this morning, I am strong and courageous, not terrified or discouraged, because my God is with me, is a very, it's a declaration that's close to my heart. The actual New King James Version says, have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage, do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And that was the verse that God gave me on the 7th of September 1999. That was the day I went full-time in this church. The previous Friday, as I was finishing secular work, I was coming home, and it was a lovely sunny day. There was a few clouds, but it was a sunny day. And there was a rainbow over Wolseley Bridge. And I thought, that's a bit strange. There shouldn't be a rainbow. There was no rain, no anything. And immediately, I just felt God say, the promises I've said to you are with you. And then he gave me that verse on the Monday. And my testimony is that that is what my God has done for me over these last 10 years. That through the valleys, through the tough times, through the mountain experiences, he has been faithful. He has always gone wherever I have gone. Now, we're both sharing this morning, but this morning isn't about us. It is about us. We have both sensed that there's a spiritual milestone that we've reached in this weekend. 10 years yesterday is when I went full-time. I had full set of hair. No, I'm only joking. But we really felt that God wanted to do something, not only with us as a couple, but with us as a church at this time. And we felt it was this, that we were to celebrate and recalibrate at the 10-year mark. See, I believe spiritual milestones are important. They are significant markers in our lives and in our journey. They offer us an opportunity to reflect, to rest, and to release. They give us an opportunity to say goodbye to the past and turn and face our new chapters. So I want us to start by celebrating. Oh, sorry, that was the verse. When we look back at this 10 years, actually what God has led us through started for us as a couple and as a church in 2008. When we felt God say to us that we were to go to IHOP in Kansas, America. We went on a Wednesday and came back on a Monday. And you might think that's a crazy thing to do. It was a crazy thing to do. But you know, we don't go looking to go where we feel. We only ever go where we feel God wants us to go. And actually, God spoke to us over that weekend. But we felt he wasn't just speaking to us. He was speaking to us as a church. And I just want to give you some of the snippets of what he said to us through those guys out there. He said, I feel like the Lord's going to use you to change the atmosphere in your city. We chuckled at that because we thought, Rugeley's not a city, but I know what he meant. I don't know what you do, whether you're starting a work or if you're in the marketplace, but I feel like the Lord is going to use you to change the atmosphere, and you guys are going to say that it doesn't have to be the way it is. It doesn't have to stay the way it is. There are some who would cling to the status quo, and you guys are like a voice which says, no, there's more than that. It doesn't have to be this way. Like the Lord has just whispered something to your spirit, and you're going to say yes and amen. You're going to go for it. I feel like it's still in the formation stage, but you guys are putting your hand to it, being obedient in that place. I feel like you are almost like Zerubbabel, like you are one who has been given building plans and to build something of the Lord that he would inhabit. Both of you have hearts for the lost, but not just to get them saved, but to have them come into their destiny. The Lord will place some choice people around you. And that is our yes and amen. God has done that. I see the favor of God on you both. When Joshua took over from Moses, he led the Lord to come through and endorse him in what he was calling, in what his calling was. And the first thing the Lord did was let him strike the Jordan and part it. And I feel, Richard, like there's a miracle coming that's going to be the hand of the Lord, just to say that I'm in this thing. I'm endorsing you. I love you. I'm behind you. Just like I was with Moses, so I will be with you. Then finally, I feel like the Lord is going to use you to break off cultural things from people, some generational things. Like the Lord will use you to bring a cultural shift and an atmosphere shift in what you do. Just paradigm changes. I feel like the Lord is going to use you to do that. And you know, these were the seeds and the mantle that we felt God has given us. I believe you do build to the prophetic, because the testimony is where we are today. And at the heart of that has been a foundation of building to the hope and restoration, bringing that to the community that we live in. But you know, when God gave us these words, we were still in our old building in Fernwood. I wasn't even full-time. I still worked secular. So to us, some of this was just, well, I don't know about this, Lord. I don't know about this. But we want to celebrate what God has done with us in this last 10 years. We celebrate the faith journey that he has taken us on. And some are going to nod and smile at this. When we looked for warehousing, when we looked at renting buildings, when we looked at empty land and we thought we'd got empty land and then it would go. Because we knew that our old building was too small for what God had purposed and planned for us to do. We were on a journey of looking and looking. We celebrate the miracle. And I do believe this was the miracle they were talking about of this center. That in 1 week in October 2014, the council said to us, will you run this building? We were successful in our bid. And we sold our old building, which technically wasn't on the market at the time. Don't forget these things. Don't forget what a marvelous, awesome God we have. We celebrate the favor that was on us, that the council in leaving this building. They left the chairs that you were sitting on. They left tables. They left projectors. They left stationery that we are still using 4.5 years later. This cupboard just seems to keep pouring stationery out. I'm sure it's the equivalent to loaves of bread and fish, except we have it in paper and pens. We celebrate that we're in a building 4.5 times the size of our old building. You know, before, when we were still in our old building, God said, I'll put you in a place where you will rattle. Well, we rattle in here. But there's purpose to that. We celebrate that we now employ 3 members of staff to run this facility. We celebrate all the relationships that we have and are building with community groups in our town. We celebrate all those that have come into our culture and atmosphere as they come into this building. 2018, yes, it's repeat footfall, but it is repeat. But I'll say it again, 27,000 people came in and out of this building. Would you have dreamed that in our old building? We celebrate that through such activities as Food Bank, Activate, the Cinema Club, Access English, just to name a few, lives are coming into contact with God's kingdom through people who are running that, and they are being changed. We have seen the seeds that God prophetically spoke over us in 2008, being about in the marketplace, about seeing a cultural and an atmospheric shift. We are seeing that come about. We had no idea in 2008. We had no idea in going full time. We had no idea when we were looking at warehouses and land and renting. But God knew. He had the place that was just right for us. So we have much to celebrate. And thank God for those spiritual milestones that He has brought us through. And just like Isaiah, we celebrate. We say, "Oh Lord, you are my God. I will exalt you. I will praise you. I will praise your name. For you have done wonderful things. Your counsels of old are faithfulness and truth." And I was actually going to say this next bit, but actually I want to pray this next bit over us. Father, today we honor you. We honor you by paying attention to those spiritual milestones. We hold the significance of each milestone in our hearts and we lift them up to you in thanks. We affirm our spiritual milestones. We confirm their importance. We recognize their value in what you have done with us and through us. And Father, we stop to reflect on where we have come from and where we are today. And yet we turn. We turn to our next steps. Having thanked you, Father, we look to move on because this is only the beginning of our journey. So we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. We have to remember those spiritual milestones, markers, they're not tombstones. We walk on. We continue. So we give thanks. We celebrate. But we also felt in that celebration there was a challenge to us personally as a couple, but to us as a church. So this is a two-message word. It's celebrate, but it's also a time to recalibrate. The word recalibrate means to adjust precisely for a particular function, to remeasure against a standard. Now, recalibrate is not a word you find in the Bible. It's not a word that's used in the Bible. But the principle of re-examining our lives as disciples of Jesus Christ is found in His Word. Galatians 6:4 says, "But let us each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in others." So when we talk about re-examining, when we talk about recalibrating our lives, we do it against the inspired word, the Bible. It is the absolute standard. When we need to recalibrate our lives spiritually, the Bible is the standard. It never changes. The standard never needs recalibration. The word of God never needs recalibrating. The recalibrating is on our part. It is not the written word that needs recalibrating. But recalibration is important. If you're a hunter, if you go hunting on the chase, I don't think we do, but if you did, you know, hunters need to recalibrate their sights. Industrialists need to recalibrate their scales. Pilots need to recalibrate their instruments so they reach their destinations. It's interesting. If rocket scientists were one degree out in launching a rocket to the moon, it would miss the moon by 11,000 miles from one degree. So recalibration is important. Both Jacqueline and myself sense at this 10-year mark that for both of us as a couple and for us as a church, it is a time of spiritual recalibration. For us as a couple, we're seeking God. A lot of what He said to us in 2008, we are living or have seen. So we're sensing it is a season change in our lives. What does that mean? What does that look like for us for the next 10 years? What is God saying to us? But everywhere we're doing that, or we are doing that, corporately or individually, our heart has just got to be open. We've got to hear what God wants to say to us, because he will say, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. He will never leave us in a fog. He will never leave us wondering which way to go. If we are seeking him, he will lead us. But we feel this is a challenge to us as a church. And we feel this is a challenge because he's looking at us and he wants us to move and use us in a greater measure. But for him to be able to do that, we have to ask ourselves, is there areas in my life that need recalibrating? Is the life I'm living, is it living up to the word of God? Does my life reflect being a disciple of Jesus Christ? These are important questions to ask ourselves, because if we are not, if we are a fraction out in our walk with him, we will miss his plans and purposes by thousands and thousands of miles, to use the analogy of the rocket. We will miss his purposes and his plans. Proverbs tells us, many are the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. So we believe that this calling of recalibration is a call to us to mature in Christ. It's what being disciples is about. It is an encouragement that is found in Hebrews. Therefore, let us move beyond the elementary teachings about Christ and be taken forward to maturity. His maturing of our lives has a purpose in bringing about a greater effectiveness in the cultural and atmospheric shift over our town that leads to revival and expansion. I'll read that again. His maturing of us has a purpose in bringing about a greater effectiveness in the cultural and atmospheric shift over our town, leading to revival and expansion. When we were out in the States a number of years ago, we were in a conference where a prophetic, American prophetic prophet named Bobby Connor was speaking, and he was the sort of guy that God would tell you through him your email address, your date of birth, where you lived, your postcode, all that sort of thing. But on the other side of this man, this was a man that lived for Jesus. He was with cartels in Ecuador, he was moving in gangs in South America, and God was using him to prophetically speak and bring them to Jesus. And this is what he has said about calibration. He says, calibration speaks of the course of action taken to ensure accuracy and precision, to rectify back to the original setting. And then this is what he prophesied to the churches. Almighty God is calling the church to get back on course. A culture of compromise and contamination is draining the very life from the church. Many are too concerned about being politically correct and having missed the importance of being spiritually correct. You know, in looking at maturing in Christ, we have to ask, is there any spiritual recalibration that needs to be done in our lives in regards to compromise or contamination? And what do I mean by contamination? Well, we live in a world that stains us. It stains us through our thinking, through values and attitude. And it can lead us to living lives that are not the standard that he has set by his inspired word. Father's never out to condemn us, but he is asking and giving us an opportunity to mature in him. He knows what's best for our lives. So to do this calls for a rejection of the status quo, not the band. It's an in-joke. You know, if we're perfectly happy where we are, we won't go anywhere else. See, we can look back. We can look back and celebrate all that God has done with us. But now's not the time to pull the sofa up. Now's the time to turn and go forward to everything else he has for us. And this recalibration can't be done by human effort. If we do it in our own strength, it will be short-lived and ineffective. It has to be God-directed recalibration. And again, we've talked, we've sensed that there are two areas, particularly God wants to challenge us, but challenge us in recalibration. The first is in our personal relationship and walk with Jesus. You know, I'm sure most of us are aware of the areas in our lives that need correction or adjustment. If we're not, then I encourage you to ask him, because he has the best for you. Where is it that he wants us to recalibrate in our lives? See, we need to have an obedient heart, because an obedient heart leads to spiritual recalibration. Psalm 119, 1-7, in the New Living Testament says this: joyful are people of integrity who follow the instructions of the Lord. Joyful are those who obey his laws and search for him with all their hearts. They do not compromise with evil, and they walk only in his paths. You have charged us to keep our commandments carefully. Oh, that my actions would consistently reflect your decrees. Then I will not be ashamed when I compare my life with your commands. As I have learned your righteous regulations, I will thank you by living as I should. I would encourage you make this a daily prayer. Because he has the best for us. We sense that second area of recalibration is with relationships with one another, both as brothers and sisters, but also with our natural families. How is our speech? How is our attitude? Particularly with our natural families, it can be difficult. Are we angry? Are we resentment? Do we have resentment? Are we hurt? Are we honoring them? Are we compromising in any areas with our natural family or with our spiritual family that's not acceptable to God and his ways? You know, the Holy Spirit will identify if that is the case. And if it is, we need to recalibrate to the inspired word of God. Sorry, I should have put that up. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. That's our recalibration when it comes to relationships, whether it's between us or it's between our families. We have to let the Holy Spirit examine us.
Okay, so I just want to look at bring some thoughts on recalibration, alignment, and how that brings freedom and brings us into God's fullness. And I'm actually declaring over myself, be strong and courageous, because I'm certainly out of my comfort zone doing this. So you'll have to smile nicely and bear with me and I'll feel safe. Okay. So recalibration should touch every area of our lives, and it brings us into that alignment and freedom and God's fullness. And I just want to read to you Ephesians 3, verse 19. If you've got your Bibles, you can follow with me. It says, I pray that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. So what does it mean to be filled with the fullness of God, to live in his abundance? How does this fullness and how does this abundance affect my life and the relationships of those around me? Well, I ask the Holy Spirit to speak to my heart and to bring to mind a simple understanding of being filled with the fullness of God. Because I didn't want to be yo-yoing between experiencing the power and the closeness of God. I wanted it to be a normal part of who I am. But to do that, I needed a lens change. I needed a recalibration in my heart and in my mind. You know, it blows my mind away to know that all the presence, power, life, energy, rule of God are available to us as his children. All, everything, all of it, all that a person can have of God is available. And that's the measure. You know, he doesn't just leave a small part for us. It's the whole measure. And though Jesus was God, he emptied himself and chose to walk through life showing us how to use faith, trust, power of the Holy Spirit to put down things of the flesh, to put down the old man. And that's the journey that I'm on. That's the journey that we're all on. It seems like we get so bogged down with everyday life that we're so full of our own worries and our desires that we don't have room for his fullness. We say we have him in our hearts, and we do, but it seems to me that so much of the time we only give him a small part of us. And we can live that way, and that's fine. We can live that way, sure. But we can't have fullness that way. So in order to have the fullness of God, we need to make some adjustments. We need to recalibrate our thinking. And that's why understanding our identity and who we are and whose we are is so important. That's why we talk about it so much. That's why we preach about it. That's why we go over and over. It's because it's so important to grasp that. If we believe after receiving Christ we are still sinners, then we will struggle with trying to do the right thing. But if we believe we are saints, we are holier believers, we are Christ ones, then when Father looks at us and sees the image of his son and daughter that he loves, we will think and we will act differently. I want the full measure of God working in me, and I believe it is available. The key to getting filled, however, is to get empty. It's one of those paradigms in the walk of that we have with God. Getting rid of everything that's holding us back from the fullness of God working in us. God wants us to recalibrate our thinking, our perspectives. He wants us to recalibrate our vision, our language, how we speak about ourselves, how we speak about others, how we speak about the church. Fullness of God, newness of life, is more than just the fruits of the Spirit. It's seeing and treating others not as we are, but as God has created us to be. And if we don't, we will never see the fullness, because we'll always be seeing what we don't have. We'll always be seeing lack. So no two lives are the same. I know we know that. But we often compare ourselves, don't we? But my life is unique. I have my own history, my own family, my own character. I am responsible for me. I can't change others, I can't change you, but I can change me. And I can change how I think, how I act, and how I react. And as much as I'm seeking to have a healthy connection with others, and I need to have a healthy connection with the Godhead, it's important that we are self-aware. And God encourages us to work from a place of rest, to work out of a place of fullness. For me, I have some practical red flags that, you know, I'm aware of when I am when I've strayed from that place of rest. I become anxious, I'm rushing everywhere, I drive too fast, My mind can't stop racing. I'm not fully present when I'm with people. I'm irritated by the simple things like standing in a queue in a supermarket. And my time with God is limited. There's probably more. But those sort of things make me aware when I've strayed from that place of rest. So what do I need? What do we need to do about that? Well, Jesus came to set us free, to engage fully in him. Fullness in him is death to the old. So in John 12:24, it says, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. So what do we need to give over and let die? What do we need to recalibrate? Is it unfulfilled dreams? Is it an offense? Is it disappointment, anger, unforgiveness towards ourselves, others, unforgiveness towards God even? If my life isn't looking like Jesus, then I have got some growing up to do. And this is why identity is just so key, because seeing ourselves as God sees us, thinking and feeling about ourselves as he does, and loving others as he does, enables us to be free to love him and to love others. Because we can't give out of something that we haven't received ourselves. He chose us. He first loved us. We are co-heirs with him, and his inheritance is our inheritance. We've been hearing that as we've worshipped this morning. Christ in us. So where we go, he goes. We are sons and daughters of the King. We are royalty. And the good news is, the more we line up with God's plan for us, the more authority and power are released through us to establish the kingdom of God. I get really excited about that. That is great news for each one of us. Amos 3:7 said, the Lord does nothing without revealing his secrets. And Proverbs says, it is the glory of it's the glory of God to conceal a matter and the glory of kings to search things out. So we are royalty. He wants us to search these things out. He wants us to search these truths and then be set free to live in the fullness of his identity for us and his plans for us. And when we go back to the verse there in Ephesians about his love for us, that we would know the breadth and length and height and depth of his love, it just surpasses our knowledge. It's his unconditional love. Is difficult to comprehend, but it's so overwhelming. His unconditional love says, no matter what you do, I am going to keep and pursue a connection with you. How amazing is that? How amazing is that? And it's not controlling, but it's also not accepting negative behavior. How often do we meditate on negative thoughts and fearful outcomes? We put conditions on love and acceptance in our relationships, and then when things don't go as we want them to go, we can withhold that love, and we can pull away. We've got an escape clause, an option to get out. But this isn't an environment where two people are free to be who they should be, to be themselves. And we all make mistakes. But if we're working towards responsibility for our choices and actions, then our Heavenly Father's love is perfecting us. Hallelujah. John 15 says, we are to purposefully abide in God's love. Because this aids our daily cultivation of our freedom. When we had a puppy years ago, we toilet trained our puppy in stages. We put out the newspaper, we carried her outside every time, gradually increasing time between intervention. We didn't drop kick her into next door's garden. Dave and Jenny, I think you can, agree with that. We didn't drop kick her into next door's garden the minute she had an accident. But we lovingly started again and continued until she'd conquered that issue. And the great thing is, our Heavenly Father cleans up our messes. And he is like that. He loves us. Our God's love is unconditional. He's patient and kind, and that is his nature. He cannot be anything else. But we are also responsible for partnering with the Holy Spirit to develop the foundation of our character so our character can support our growth and influence. And there comes a point when we just have to stop it. Just stop it. Stop partnering with the wrong choices. Stop partnering, stop feeding the negative behavior. Because we have a loving Heavenly Father that's here to help us to get on course. Because if we want the fullness of God and newness of life, not just on the odd occasion, but if as a part of who we are, living out of our identity as sons and as daughters of the King, then we need to make room for that. We need to make room for that. We need to recalibrate and get rid of all that is holding us back. Yeah. No, because there is so much more. That measure, he's got so much more for us. I just want to pray over us. Father God, yeah, Jesus, we long to come into the fullness of our destiny as being your sons and your daughters. There is abundance and freedom in your family, more than enough in the family account to have everything I need to do what I have been called to do. Jesus paid for everything on the cross. He inherits everything, and I am his co-heir. Light is penetrating darkness as we begin to recalibrate our thinking, and our minds are being renewed as we understand our identity, how much we are loved, our inheritance, our intimacy, and our destiny. How dying to the old life brings newness of life, fullness and freedom. And as we reign with you, we begin to change our lives, our families, our town, and our world. Amen.
Yeah, so there is a challenge to us to engage with what God is saying. And how do we do that? Well, we pray and we reflect. We ask, Father, where am I? What are you saying to me? You know, it's something perhaps we don't always do. St. Augustine said, people travel to the wonder at the height of mountains and at the huge waves of the sea, at the long courses of rivers, at the vast compass of the ocean, at the circular motion of the stars, and they pass themselves by without wondering. See, we can look at everything around us and wonder at that, but actually we need to be asking, Father, what are you saying to me? Search me, God. Know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. A gentleman called J. Oswald Sanders says, I ask myself every 3 months, Sanders, are you more like Christ than you were 3 months ago? Are you more loving, more kind, more patient? And his concern should be no less than ours to be having a Christ-like character. So this weekend is a spiritual milestone. We celebrate what God has done over these last 10 years. We thank him for that. But I think there is a challenge to us as a church to turn to the future. There's a challenge to us to mature as Christians because of what he is calling us and going to call us into. That in that maturity, that he would bring about a greater effectiveness in the cultural and atmospheric shift over our town. That would lead to revival and expansion. It's important to recalibrate. We are living in a world that is increasingly going to get darker and darker. And he has chosen the likes of you and me to shine in this world. The days of just going to church are fading. We are the church. We meet together, yes, that is so important. But as a church, we've got a job to do out there in this world. So I want to challenge you again with what Jacqueline said, because it challenges me. Our God's love is unconditional, patient and kind. That is his nature. He cannot be anything else. But we are also responsible for partnering with the Holy Spirit to develop the foundation of our character, so our character can support our growth and influence. And there comes a time when we just have to stop it. Stop partnering with wrong choices. If we want to see the fullness of God and newness of life, not just on the odd occasion, but as who we are, living out of our identity as sons and daughters of the King, then we need to make room for that and recalibrate and get rid of all that is holding us back. Why? Because he wants to advance his kingdom. He is looking for people like you and me to use in a greater measure. Guys, can we have the worship guys up? So this is a time of celebration. But I think there's a seriousness about the recalibration. There's a challenge to us all. I think there's a... I didn't want to use this word, but I don't know how else to say it really. I think there's a call for us to grow up in Christ. And that's not a condemnation. God is not in it for that. He calls us that because he wants to fulfill what he wants to say through us. So the challenge is, how are we with our family? How are we with our relationships with one another? These are not things he will skirt around. We've been singing of what a holy God he is. Let us not forget who we come to, but let us not also forget who he has called us to be and who we are in him. So this really is a very personal thing. So I've asked the guys if we can sing, is it Revelation song? Yeah, Revelation song again. And you might want to sit, you might want to stand. But I want us to engage with the Holy Spirit. And if there are those areas that you need to recalibrate in, then start that with the Holy Spirit this morning. And if that recalibration against the standard of the inspired word says you need to go and maybe speak or ask forgiveness to someone, then I encourage you to do it so that you can live in the fullness of all that God has called you to be. But we look forward to the excitement of what the next 10 years God is going to be doing with us. Who'd have thought we'd have been in a place like this, doing what we're doing in the community? Where will we be in the next 10 years?
It is quite important that we spend that time on our own, but also encourage each other as a family. And Trevor's just been prompted that maybe we ought to just stand together as a family and just hold hands together as a family. That God's got this, and the recalibration that we're going to go through as a church, as a family, it's not about forgetting what's gone on over the 10 years. It's about looking forward to what he's got for us for the next however many years. But standing together and encouraging each other as we take this journey together. Father, as we recalibrate what's going on in this place and in our own lives, Father, we give you full control, Father, to take us on that journey where you need us to go. Father, help us to be obedient. Help us to rely on you. Father, help us to just keep our eyes firmly fixed on you. Father, we thank you and we celebrate what you have done for us and with us and through us. And Father, we thank you, Lord, for the journey that you're taking us on, for what you've got in store for us. Father, as individuals and as a family, in this place and in your kingdom, we praise you. We give you the glory because you're worthy of it all. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Bless you. Yeah, let's read it out together. Joyful are the people of integrity who follow the instructions of the Lord. Joyful are those who obey his laws and search for him with all our hearts. They do not compromise with evil, and they don't look in his paths. You have charged us to keep your commandments carefully. Oh, that we a consistent reflect grace. Then I will not be ashamed when I compare my life with your commands. As I learn your righteous regimen, I will thank you by living as I should. Amen. This isn't just a Sunday morning verse. It's a daily reading. So write it out on a piece of paper and stick it on your fridge. Psalm 119, verses 1 to 7.